Corinthians 10, verse number 1. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant, how that our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drink of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them. As is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Therefore, or wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you tonight for the privilege to gather together, to rehearse one with another the wondrous things of God. We thank you for that opportunity this evening. We pray now, as your word is preached, that you would anoint. We pray for the leadership, the unction of the Spirit of God. Lord, as best as I know how, I submit myself into your hands. And Lord Jesus, speak through these lips tonight, I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Please go ahead and be seated. As we study 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, we are at once in realization that God wants us to look back at the Old Testament saints and realize that there is some correlation between they and us. How many know that human nature has not really changed? I mean, seriously. And so when we look back at these people, we know, hey, they are just like us. We also look back and we see the children of Israel as they're brought out of the land of Egypt as being a type of the Christian who's saved from the oppression and the bondage of sin. We find as they pass through the Red Sea, some people liken that to baptism. Be very careful of that one. But they are then brought into this new life with the Lord. We find that they're in the wilderness. It's a time of testing. It's a time of trial. It's a time where they're learning that God will take care of them. It's a great time in their lives. However, we find that there are some things they failed at, and I believe that is the emphasis that we're going to deal with this evening. And so he shows us there's a correlation between the children of Israel and the Christian. God wants us, as a result of that, to beware of our actions. Verse number 5, he says, but with many of them God was what? Not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now, he says, these things were what? Our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. So now the Lord shows us here four biblical illustrations of what took place. In verse number 7, he talks about being idolatrous. I believe specifically he's referring back to the time at Mount Sinai when Moses was on the mount, and they came to Aaron and they put together the mold or the golden calf and began to worship it. It was an idolatrous worship of that which did not deliver them. And he says to you and to me that we ought not be idolaters. There are things that you and I put ahead of God. If we do, it's idolatry. Do you know the Bible says that covetousness is idolatry? And so when you and I get covetous, you and I want this, we want that, we want the other thing, we are falling into this particular sin. He goes on and he says in the next verse, verse number 8, neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. I believe this is specifically referring to the time right after the children of Israel, well, they the king of Moab tried to get a curse upon them, but was unable to do that. And Balaam, afterwards, when he could not curse the people of God, said to the Moabites, hey, listen, go down and be friendly with them and just mingle with them. And that's what took place. And we find under his instruction that the Jewish people began to intermarry with the Moabites. And what did they do? They committed what they call fornication here. We find also in verse number 9, it says, neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of the serpents. I believe this is in reference directly to Numbers chapter 21, when they were in what is called a very difficult way. Many of them were complaining because the direction they were going, the way they were going was very difficult. The path they were traveling, the road they were on was going around rather than through a country. And as a result of that, they were complaining. And many of them were destroyed. And then notice lastly in verse number 10, which is really our text tonight, neither murmur ye as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. And I believe this is in reference particularly to those who, after Korah and his company were slain because they had risen up against Moses, the people came and they complained about the fact that they were taken away. And so we find that God brought upon them destruction, and many, many died as a result of that. What impressed my heart here is the severity of God's judgment upon complaining. Let me ask you a question tonight. Are you guilty of ever having a complaint? Can anybody in this room say, Pastor, I have not made one complaint this month? Some say, oh, it's only 3 days into the month, I'm safe so far. I rather doubt that. We are by nature what? Complainers. And yet God tells us here, neither murmur ye as some of them also murmured and were what? Destroyed, he says, of the destroyer. Listen to this. Numbers chapter number 11, verse number 1 says this, and when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it, and His anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burnt among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. God takes complaining very seriously. Can we understand that complaining is in direct opposition of God's truth? Listen to this. Romans chapter 8 and verse number 28. How many know that verse? And we know that all things what? Work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. Now let me ask you a question tonight. When God wrote that verse, how many things did He have in mind? Did He say most things? No, it doesn't say most things. God says how many? All things. How many know what all means? Listen, there's a very good definition for all. All means all. Now, does that come clear? It is everything. And so when He says God, what? Worketh how many things? All things together for what? For good. For good to them that love God. So if we tonight are a people who love God, God says to you and I, all things what are working together for good. He said, but preacher, I had some really bad things happen to me this week. You might have had bad things happen to you this week, but God says He's working it together for good. He's taken those things, putting it with some other things, that He might do something good in our lives. How many young people we have here? You're let's take you for about, let's go at 16. How many are 16 or under? Raise your hand. All right. Put your hand down, Patty. You're nowhere close to that. All right. 16 or under. All right. Alex, you're not 16. Okay. And 16 or how many 16 or under have had a spanking recently? And you're willing to admit it. Okay. Let's see those hands again. They just...
Todd's back there saying to these girls, put your hands up.
All right. How many kids believe that a spanking is good? Huh? Oh, I love to get spankings. I can't wait for my next one. I mean, seriously, Jake, have you gone up to Daddy and you said, oh, Dad, I love spankings. Would you give me another one? That shirt that you wear is actually very accurate. Not that one, but that blue one or whatever color it is. It says totally retard. Anyways, we know that that is certainly not the truth. But they do what they, this is what you're thinking about, they work together for good. They work together for good. Okay? Doesn't mean they are good in themselves, but God has purpose in them. And so when you and I complain about those bad things that He is wanting to work good for us, we are complaining about God's truth. Let's think of the seriousness of this for just a moment. Do you realize there's a term in the Bible that is directly in relationship to this? It's called blasphemy. That term blasphemy is defined as an indignity offered to God by words or writing. It is reproachable, contemptuous, or irreverent words uttered impiously against God. It is saying, I do not like what God is giving me at the moment. And that comes under that term. This is such a serious crime that God says if it is against the Holy Spirit of God, it is unpardonable. When you and I have the attitude against those things that we do not like, to where we are murmuring and complaining, it is very serious with God. Neither murmur ye as some of them also murmured and were what? Destroyed of the destroyer. It is a very serious crime. If you wish to live without the rebuke of God, do not complain. You got your Bible? Turn to Philippians with me, chapter number 2. Book of Philippians, chapter number 2. Let's notice something here. And we're going to go to verse 13. Philippians chapter 2, and start with me in verse number 13. And notice what it says. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. It's of God. What's He want to do? He wants to work in your life. Are there some things in your life that are miserable? Are there some things in your life that you wish were not there? I mean, are you dealing with some things? Perhaps they're physical ailments. Perhaps they're problems in family. Perhaps, who knows what it is. Perhaps you've got maybe you've got somebody at work that just gives you a very, very hard time. Maybe you're under some actually severe persecution. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Do all things without what? By the way, is this an optional thing in God's Word? Looks like a command to me, doesn't you? Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without what? Rebuke. In the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. So God knows we are in the midst of wickedness, and yet He wants us to be a people, no matter what's going on, to not be murmuring or complaining. Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. By the way, have you found that if you're on the job complaining, it's pretty hard to be holding up the word of truth? Being a testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ while you're complaining about what He's doing in your life? It doesn't go hand in hand. God wants us to be a people who are appreciative, thankful for whatever comes our way. He says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. If we would begin to have the attitude, hey, whatever it is bad coming my way, whatever it is that's setting in front of me, hey, that is of God, and He's got something for me from it. I don't enjoy it, but I'm not going to complain about it because it's there for great purpose. He wants to do something through it in my heart and my life. The Christian life is never easy. We should never preach it. Sometimes we say, boy, accept Jesus Christ as your Savior and your life will be a bed of roses. How many know what's in a rose bed? Yes. And we need to understand, when we accept Jesus Christ, we're not going into a life of ease. A life of peace, yes. Peace with God. A place of joy, yes. Because the Spirit of God comes in and works these marvelous fruit in our life. But it doesn't mean it's easy. We should never believe it is, nor should we ever expect it to be. Some folks are saying, boy, it's hard now, but boy, one of these days I'm looking forward to when it's going to be easy. You're going to be waiting a long time. I've been saved a long time. I don't think it's getting easier. But there is something that we can experience with it, and that is the wonderful grace of God. Notice verse 13. It's a promise that many people have looked at. And He says here, there hath no temptation taken you, but such is what? Common to man. But God is what? Faithful. Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. Some people say, well, it's going more than I can handle. No, it's never more than you can handle. Because by the grace of God, you can handle whatever He brings your way. But will, with the temptation, also make a way to escape that ye may be what? Able to bear it. We can experience His grace through whatever it is. And we can be made better through them. The things of life, the problems, the persecutions, all of the things that come upon our lives that are unpleasant, God has purpose in them. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 and 7 says, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. For whom the Lord loveth, He what? He chasteneth. He allows things to come into our lives. He does the chastening. He does all the different things in our lives and allows things to come. What? That He might bring us through those trials of faith, that we will be that precious, beautiful stone. Brethren, we are in the midst of a great opportunity. The people of Council Bluffs and Omaha are scared. Rightfully so. And I believe in our hearts there's fears. And everybody handles those things differently and all that stuff. But in the midst of all of that, you and I can walk in the peace of God. We can walk in the peace of God. The calm in the storm. We can be a light to a darkened world. That's just one illustration. We have great privilege through our trials to shine forth for the Lord Jesus Christ. How many have ever dealt with severe problems at work? I mean severe problems. I've been there. Hatreds. Things that you think I can't handle. We have a choice to make. That choice is complain and lose our testimony, or thank God that He can give us the grace to endure and our lights shine brighter to those who are watching. That's on the job. It's in our families. Yea, it's even in our church. It's in our community. And so God allows us these things. Do we like them, Mindy? No. I was not enjoying it today that my mother went down and grabbed the piece of leather off the side of my saddle, my horse, came marching back up to the house. That strap, which was about that long, had a little handle in it that I used to flail the back end of that horse with when I wanted him to really go. My sister and I, while my mother was on the telephone, were arguing and disruptive. She'd asked to stop, and we got worse. From that day forward, my horse had a whole lot lighter load when I put that thing there, because I felt that day what that thing could do. She missed on my sister and hit her leg. She had a welt wrapped around her leg. By the way, that was in the days that if you went to the authorities, they would say, "Tough, you deserved it." Yeah. And by the way, we did. I didn't like that. But I learned something that day. When Mom's on the phone, get out of the house. Don't even mess with temptation. Stay away from your sister. Go to the chicken coop. Throw rocks at chickens, but do not get around your sister. You know what I'm saying? Homely illustration, but God uses those things to teach us that we'll be a better individual. Do you like them? No. Do I like them? No. All things are not good, but all things work together for good. And I fear that what happens is we do not recognize how serious this is, a sin against God. And we gripe about all sorts of things. I've gotten upset with waitresses at a restaurant. Do you think leaving a track would make any difference at that point? We went out for lunch today. They were very short-handed. I could have been very upset, I suppose, though they were working very hard and trying to get the job done. I didn't get my biscuit with my meal. It was dessert. You know, a biscuit with butter and honey for dessert's pretty good. And I could have blown it. So what? We lose it so many times by what? Complaining. And how we need to be a people who are thankful for what God brings our way. Father, tonight, work in our hearts. You are so good to us. Even those things that seem bad and hard and difficult, you work them together for good. And then, Lord, we complain. We're so much like the children of Israel. Oh, God, help us to see the severity of our crime. Help us to understand the guilt of murmuring is very grievous with you. A whole generation of Israelites died in the wilderness because of their murmuring. Oh God, may we be a people who are thankful even for those things that are very unpleasant. Work in our hearts in this. Oh God, forgive us. For we are constant complainers. Give us a new vision. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand tonight, heads bowed, eyes closed, letting God speak to your hearts as Mindy plays.